You're listening to 101.5 FM here on UMFM. Good afternoon and welcome to UTalk. It's a program dedicated to diversity, highlighting native-born and new Canadians' cultures and experiences. I'm your host, Ryan Funk. With the ongoing pandemic, you know, we've seen an increase in racism and hate crimes against Asians. On March 27th, a Stop Asian Hate rally took place here in Winnipeg. I spoke with Asian Heritage Society of Manitoba board member Jay Young about the rally and the increase in anti-Asian racism. And later in the program, we'll hear from Jennifer Chen and Ting Fang from the Women of Color Community Leadership Initiative.
A couple of years ago, a friend of mine who was on the board invited me to see what it was about, and I really enjoyed the unity between all the Asian communities in Manitoba. I want to help continue improving that and also bring more awareness to Asian Canadian issues and culture and heritage as well.
And yeah, so the big thing to talk about, unfortunately, is, you know, the rise in Asian hate, racism against Asian communities. And there was a rally that took place March 26th. So how did that rally go? And I guess, you know, why did the Asian Heritage Society of Manitoba want to support this rally?
The event went really well. It was a success, in my opinion. It was a drive-by protest, so we weren't allowed, we're following social gathering laws by not gathering as a normal protest or rally would be. We were in our cars and we drove around a path from the Forks all the way to Waterfront Drive, and we had 150 cars go through. And it was really nice seeing people from all backgrounds and Winnipeg to showing support. And it was very emotional for some Asian people, because, including myself, because after witnessing everything happening in the United States, particularly the Atlanta mass shooting and also some parts of Canada, it was really nice to see that support and that there are people who want to hear voices and be allies as well.
I saw that you, your group, posted some stats on there during like the COVID-19 anti-Asian racism in Canada. 600 plus incidents. Like, this is incredibly unfortunate, seeing this kind of like people turn against each other.
Yeah, and those statistics were documented in June, and according to the newest report in February, there's a bit over 1,000 incidents in Canada. So it's very unfortunate that what's going on in society.
So, you know, how can our communities come together to, you know, help fight this? I know, like, rallies and protests like this are a great way to, you know, start the conversation. But how do we continue that? How do we take action?
The first thing is when someone speaks about them being a victim about racism, or the community being a victim of racism, we need the other person, regardless of background, to just listen first and listen to understand, rather than listen to respond or I guess debunk anything. Just listen and see what our communities are going through. And then once there's a better understanding of what our community is going through, then people will I'm not sure what that word is called, but there'll be a motivation or a call to action to speak out against racism and also be an ally for our community as well. And also another thing that's very important is we need our politicians and leaders to denounce racism in general, and also making note that anyone committing racism or any other hate crimes, that they will be accountable for them and also punish as well.
We just need to continue those conversations, you know, work as a community. Clearly this stuff was, you know, under the floorboards before and just kind of rose during COVID. So yeah, we need to kind of nip this in the bud, like take racism down to the root and get rid of it.
No, it isn't, because in this society we live in, we have a lot of other systemic issues already, and we don't need racism to interfere in improving a society in general.
And like Asian communities, they have such a vibrant and rich culture, all the different regions. It's always fun and fascinating to learn about the culture of Asia. So how about we talk a little bit more about, you know, your organization, what you do, and the communities that are all a part of it?
What we do is we basically organize, and so we basically organize events for Asian Heritage Month of May, and we put on multiple small events. So we'll have performances, we'll have high school symposiums, we have film nights as well, and also during that month, all our activities and programming is meant to help acknowledge the contributions of Asian Canadians to Canadian society through the arts and culture and heritage. And on our board, we have people from all backgrounds of Asia, consisting of Japanese, Chinese, Indian, Sri Lankan, Vietnamese, Korean, Filipino, Syrian, Singaporean, and Malaysian. And our organization is open to individuals from East Asia, Southeast Asia, South Asia, and West Asia as well.
Yeah, so how about tell me a little bit about the programming and some of the events that you've hosted in the past?
Well, in the past, before the pandemic, one of our most popular events is the Asian Canadian Festival at the Forks. And we usually have people performing under the canopy from all different Asian backgrounds. And another event we would have is also the high school symposium. So we'd go to high schools and we would talk about Asian and Canadian history. And also, we do have some workshops on that day as well, workshops on other Asian activities. And also, we do have a Asian film night as well every year. And we do have panel discussions at the Human Rights Museum as well. And I'm trying to think what else we do. That's for the most part, that's what we're known for.
I mean, the film night sounds like a lot of fun. That's definitely something that I would love to go to once, you know, this whole COVID situation is behind us.
Well, actually, this year we have an anti-Asian racism film contest that we have opened up, where people in Manitoba, whether they're a social media influencer or a filmmaker, they can make a video discussing why racism is not acceptable, and the winners will actually win money. So there's two categories. There's one category for the youth, so anybody under 18, and then we have the 18 plus, where it's for adults. And the best films will be shown on our Asian film night at the end of May.
Oh, that's super exciting. So, when is kind of the deadline for this?
Well, the original deadline is April 1st, and I understand that especially with what's going on recently, I'm sure lots of people want to make more content, so I may have to extend the deadline to potentially April 20th,
April 20th.
so everyone gets a chance to work on their films, because I understand working on films is not an easy task at all.
Yeah, the video editing, getting the production all in order.
At the same time, it'd be nice to have just really candid videos too, because if their film is not, you know, high end or high budget, and it's but it's still like shows a powerful message, then hey, then that can win the contest as well. So I don't want to I want to encourage everyone to give it a
Yeah,
try.
so anyone can kind of participate as long as you know, can share that message out there. Where can
Exactly.
people find more information about, you know, taking part in this initiative?
Well, if they go to asianheritagemanitoba.com, we'll have all our information there. And also we're on Facebook, and if you type in Asian Heritage Society of Manitoba, we're there. And also for Instagram, we're at Asian Heritage Manitoba.
What kind of spurred this initiative in a contest? What made the the board want to you know, pursue this?
Well, the thing is, like, I especially this past year with racism related to the pandemic, There's a lot of Asian Canadians, or just anyone in Canada in general, witnessed or heard about a lot of racism, and I really believe that especially in this day and age, there shouldn't be racism at all. And if we can create films to help bring awareness and educate people, then I think everyone's society can benefit from it.
You have this film night where you're going to showcase the films coming up in May. What are some of the other things that the organization is hoping to get to as restrictions continue to ease?
Well, this year, all our events are virtual based, just like any other organizations out there. So during Asian Heritage Month of May, we'll be displaying Asian showcases every couple of days. So we'll have videos from every Asian culture participate. And I haven't got fully de full details on the high school symposium yet, but there will be programming sent to some of the high schools out there. And I mentioned, yeah, we're gonna have a virtual Asian Film Festival as well. And that's what we have so far. There could be a few more things coming up, but that's what we have planned.
Why is it important to get the those high school students involved?
Well, I'm sure you heard this before. When it comes to identity and racism issues, it's all taught, or it's all we don't. No one is born with perceptions. They're learned, experienced, and taught. So if we can talk to students about what's going on in the Asian Canadian community, and also there are other Asian Canadian students that may not feel that topics of Asian Canadian history may not be fully covered, even though I understand there is a curriculum out there. But there are some parts of history that may not have been mentioned in the regular curriculum that I think is important for some students to learn about.
And I guess it'd be very important to mention right now, you know, if someone does experience racism or hate like this, where should they be, you know, going, you know, if they're experiencing this?
Well, we do have an instant reporting survey on our website. So if they go to, AsianHeritageManitoba.com, we do have an instant reporting system. Right now, it's currently in English, but we are going to get translations to have in different languages, so it's more accessible for certain people in our community.
Yeah, kind of like report that as soon as possible. Don't continue to let it fester.
Yeah, because we have to speak up. If we don't speak up, then there are people who will not understand or know that what's going on. Because like I would say, fortunately, in Manitoba, pandemic-related racism is a lot lower compared to the United States and Canada. There's been mostly verbal abuse and racist remarks and vandalism. There hasn't been violent forms of racism in Manitoba, and I'm really glad because a lot of stuff that I see out there that's happening in the United States and other parts of the country, it can be very traumatizing for a lot of people in Manitoba to see, and we don't want that to ever spill over here.
Yeah, like it can be scary and traumatizing, and you know, experiences like that, you know, can continue to create a divide between different communities.
Yeah, it's a very unnecessary divide, because at the end of the day, we're all trying to survive here and be contributing members, and it's really it can be very hurtful, because everyone else, I understand everyone else during the pandemic is stressed out and overwhelmed, and there's lots of issues, but with the Asian Canadians, we have those issues too, but then we also we have to deal with racism, and that's just another dimension of just being overwhelmed during this pandemic.
Yeah, I mean we're in this together. We gotta work together, not divide each other.
Oh, totally, and it's crazy how when we have accessibility to all this technology with all this information, and unfortunately, we're still divided, and it's really unfortunate.
And there's so much we can learn from each other. Like different cultures have different experiences that like you can learn and apply to your own life.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, that's why I actually enjoy looking at your guys' social media website, because you do interview people from all walks of life and diverse cultures. So I think it's really awesome. And we actually shared a couple of your
Ah,
guys'
thank you.
posts. So I think what your organization doing is amazing, and you're helping with that as well.
Yeah, it's a whole symbiotic community. We gotta help each other out and promote each other. 'Cause diversity is beautiful.
Oh, it totally is, and I wish more people could see the beauty of that. But unfortunately, we have to do what we have to deal with what we have, and we have to try to find ways to improve the situation. Because, like personally for myself, I from what I've seen in the United States of what's going on, there are a lot of Asian senior citizens walking around the streets and being attacked unprovokingly. And I sometimes worry when my senior parents tell me that when they're going to the grocery store, I'm thinking, oh, you have to be careful, and such a. So it's very stressful for myself and other people as well. Yeah, and because anything can happen, and especially if they're at that age, and if they get knocked down or pushed down, anything can happen, and then they have to go to the hospital, and then it's just a stressful situation for many people. But again, like I said early on, I'm glad Manitoba does not have violent racism happening here.
So yeah, we've talked a little bit about, the increase in hate crimes due to the pandemic and the stresses that have been involved, and the increase in both the United States and Canada. What are some other things that the Asian Heritage Society of Manitoba is actively addressing?
Basically, we like to share and spread awareness on information about it. So, if there's organizations that want to get a message across, we're more than happy to share it. And during our high school symposium, we do talk about Asian and Canadian history and why the things in the past are not acceptable. So that's our role right now. And I do believe in. The more programming we have, and when the public sees it, it just shows that we're all Canadians here, and we just want to be just like everyone else and participate and contribute to society and just normalize. Because it's unfortunate there's people who don't view Asian Canadians as equals, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that behavior. Yeah, we need to get rid of it.
Yeah, and I remember reading an article, and there was a survey done with Manitoba healthcare workers where they mentioned one out of five Manitoba healthcare workers that identified as Asian heritage were witnessed and experienced racism at the workplace. And it's quite ironic because if I was a patient or somebody like that, and someone's trying to help me or save my life, why would I mistreat them based on their skin color and their ethnic background? So it's really frustrating when you hear stuff about like that.
As a Caucasian, it's really hard to empathize because or sympathize because we've never experienced things like that. So it's really hard to get into that mindset of what that must feel like and the mental toll that racism has on people of minority communities.
Yeah, and also this got me thinking a bit more about other ethnic groups' racism as well, because we hear a lot about, especially in Canada, how the Indigenous communities and the Black communities have their own forms of racism that they have to deal with, and I've always heard the narrative of that. Oh, why can't these communities do this, improve this? And I understand that with the way colonialism has happened, it's not that simple. And sometimes Asian people are used as a mild minority to say, hey, if they can go to school, work hard, and do all this, why can't you guys? It will treat you better if. But Asian people do value education a lot, and most of us are doing well in their career. Some of us are doing well in their careers, but why are we still dealing with racism? So it just shows that racism, no matter how conditional it is, it's all or conditional sounding it is, it's never about what you do. It's about who you are. And unfortunately, it still sticks in. And I really feel bad for other communities too when I see that the Asian community, even though they've been the moment, been set aside as a minority, they're still being mistreated. So if these communities were to become the minority, things won't change at all still.
Yeah, in terms of hate, they're always trying to pit everyone against each other so that no one can, fight against it unified. You know, you mentioned a couple of other things that you're kind of planning in the future. What's kind of the long-term goals and projects that the Asian Heritage Society is hoping to do in, the next 5 years or something like that?
Well, to be honest, there's a lot of uncertainty because of the pandemic. I wish that by next year, we can do live events again, and there'll be a lot more engagement and dialogue with the rest of the communities. But right now, we can just focus on our virtual events at the moment.
Yeah, kind of take it day by day sort of thing.
Yeah.
Makes sense. How can people get involved? In what ways is the Asian Heritage Society looking for people to help out?
Well, on our website, we do have a form where you can contact us to join or participate in our organization. So we're always looking for volunteers to help us. Particularly with the Zoom events, we may need people to help us with video editing and camera operating. Another thing that we haven't posted this yet, but I am looking for someone to help out with the social media as well, because we want someone who's more well-versed in using TikTok and Snapchat to help us out. There's that. And at the same time, we're open to people who have expertise, who wants to share it with our community and be able to share it and hopefully other people in our community will find it useful. So there's always room for that.
Yeah. I mean, this whole film contest will be a great opportunity to find some of the skilled people within the community.
Yeah, there's a lot of people out there that want to get into the film world. It's just we have to give people platforms so they have a chance to showcase what their skills or vision are.
Fantastic.
And then that's what our organization is here for. Mm-hmm. Well, nothing else from mine except that Asian Heritage Month is happening in May, and if you go to our websites and our social media, there'll be virtual programming during that month, and we still have programming during the year, but it's mostly in May. So if anyone wants to look, just come visit our website. Actually, one more thing to mention is I'd like to shout out and thank Jennifer Chen for organizing the Stop Asian Hate Rally. A lot of Asian Manitobans really appreciate her hard work the last couple of years and all her activism as well.
Of course. Thank you, Jennifer. As a women's organization, the Women of Color Community Leadership Initiative is a community where women of color's unique experiences, leadership, and contributions are valued and celebrated to empower women and create positive change. They oppose racism, sexism, and gender-based violence. Their goals are to foster and promote equality, opportunity, leadership, access to services, and inclusion through unique grassroots programs designed by women of color and to encourage civic engagement.
So, Women of Color Community Leadership Initiative, we call it WCLI, short for WCCLI, WCLI. And it's a nonprofit women organizations initiated by women of color in Winnipeg. In Manitoba, there are many ethnocultural groups and grassroots community organizations that are doing amazing work out there, but there is something missing. So Jennifer and I and three other beautiful women, we are very active in the community, in newcomer communities, because our own intersectional identities, being a newcomers and immigrants, and also being a young woman, a mother, a daughter, we could strongly sense that there's a gender discriminations and gender inequalities in the society, and even within our own ethnocultural groups. So we can see that there's a gaps in addressing those issues, and we do have hard time to have our voices to be heard. And there's the lack of everywhere in representations for women of color. And that is why we initiate this working group and then later turn into weekly. And it's all run by volunteers. And our vision is to build a community where women of color's unique experience, leadership, and contributions are valued and celebrated, and to empower women and create positive changes. And we oppose to racism, sexism, and gender-based violence and all forms of discrimination against women of color. Our vision is to build a community where women of color's unique experience, leadership, and contributions are valued and celebrated, and to empower women and to create positive changes. We oppose racism, sexism, gender discrimination, gender-based discriminations, and violence, and all forms of discriminations against women of colors. And our goals are to foster and promote gender equalities, opportunities, leadership, access to services, and inclusion through unique grassroots programs designed by women of colors, and to encourage civil engagement. So that's our visions.
What is the feeling that of building this group and seeing people, you know, come on board? You mentioned it was completely volunteer-based.
Of course, five of us, we do have our full-time job, and then we do this as our part of our side job. Not side job, but we're passionate what we're doing, and we have to kind of utilize our time wisely after work to kind of like build a stronger community, build a stronger leadership, and also do role modeling for our women too.
Of course. So Jennifer, how about we go a little bit more detail into that? You know, what sort of work are you doing as a group, you know, to ensure, you know, marginalized groups like women of color have their voices, experiences, and contributions valued equally? What can we do in order to, you know, achieve that dream?
Yeah, there's a long way to go, but more and more people are joining on this path, and it's one of the mission for our organization. I think, firstly, we need to keep raising awareness about gender inequality and underrepresentation. I think there are still many people who are unaware or don't quite understand why it is so difficult for women of color to have their voices heard. When we raise awareness, we need to listen to what women of color have to say. Women of color face multiple forms of racism on top of misogyny and gender discrimination. They face such as xenophobia, stigmatization, and microaggression. We've heard Dr. Theresa Tam, Chief Medical Officer of Canada, highly accomplished and respected people are also facing xenophobia and racist conspiracy theories when they are working hard to keep us safe. As a school trustee myself, I also face xenophobic comments and racist conspiracy theory while working in the community just because I'm Chinese, a region. And we know racism is not just an individual behavior. We know systemic racism exists in our society. I experienced that in a system. Women of color's voices are not taken seriously in the system when we speak out about issues, and people think women of color don't speak up. And when we do speak up, we have to fight hard to prove ourselves and get our voice heard. So we need to raise awareness, but not only to raise awareness, we need government and political leaders to take initiatives. We need to take action. For example, in the education system, we need to have history of racism and anti-racism discussions in the classroom with our students. In the community, we need people to come together. When we see an incident of racism happening, don't stay silent, call it out, and support anyone who wants to speak out.
We don't talk enough about it in our schools. Like you hear about racism or like, yeah, people taking advantage of indigenous populations in history books, but they really don't talk about like the modern issues.
Mm-hmm. Yes, racism is not in the curriculum. And it's up to teachers to take initiative to have the discussions in the classroom right now. And, you know, in other province, for example, in Ontario, the community has pushed this issue into the curriculum. And I hope that one day here in Manitoba, it can also be included in the education curriculum. And about representation, representation matters. It really matters. And I think sometimes people also don't quite know or are aware that when we say women of color's representation matters, why that is so important. It's because we experience lack of representation every day, and that lack of voices that represent women of color's experiences, opinions, and contributions. And so, and women of color just not valued equally.
Yeah, representation. As someone who's white, you never think about, you know, representation in media or in your, like, politics. My girlfriend, she's Filipino, and, you know, watching a movie and you see an Asian lead in there, she gets so excited, and you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When you don't see someone like you, like, regularly, it's just, yeah, it's definitely something for us in the white community to, you know, to be aware of, and especially, like, we've never experienced racism, like, and it's hard to, you know, understand what the emotional or mental toll of discrimination and racism has on an individual.
And I can tell you, sometimes when I visit a school and I introduce myself and I introduce that I'm a first generation immigrant, came to Canada and become school trustee. And after the events, there are always students of color, young people, young female students of color came to me and wanted to know more about my story and how my story coming to Canada and how I become school trustee. So I think, especially for our next generation, our young people, they need to see people who look like them in the leadership role. And I think that gives them big encouragement on their path moving forward. When they don't see themselves reflected in a system or reflected in the society or reflected in the, like, a job career that they wanted to choose, and they don't see people like who look like them, they may think, oh, that job may not be for people of color, and that is totally wrong.
Yeah, get discouraged, and, you know, we won't even see the next great people because, you know, they were intimidated out of, you know, taking a risk or taking a job that they dreamed of.
Mm-hmm.
I know one of the things that the group helped create was the anti-Asian hate rally. Maybe Ting, if you'd like to respond to this, just, you know, the importance of setting up this event and to bring the message of, you know, stopping Asian hate with the increase because of the COVID-19 pandemic.
During the COVID, we do see a lot increased numbers of incidents that happens in our communities, that people are facing racist comments. They are calling us different names. And then we do have community members that come to us and see if we can do something about it. And also because that Atlanta shootings happens, and then more and more people coming out, and we decided this is time we need to come out, and we need to come out as a collective voice, and we shouldn't try this hard to have our voice to be heard. Hate's wrong. Hating Asians is not going to stop the COVID, and we're not the source. And there's more than just coming out and say that and express ourselves and speak up.
I can add. Stop Asian Hate Rally Weekly is one of the two organizations that initiated and organized, which took place on March 27th in front of Canadian Museum for Human Rights. It was probably the first rally that was organized by Winnipeg's Chinese community on the current issue. And I think it was definitely the first rally that was organized by a Chinese woman. Ting, myself, and Sun Miao from Metro Chinese Family Center, and the majority of the volunteers for the rally are women of color. We also had a number of youth joined as volunteers. We organized this rally. One of the reasons was in response to the Atlanta shooting that killed six Asian women. We know the shooting was racially motivated and gender motivated. The suspect was saying he wanted to eliminate sexual temptation. So why is sexual temptation related to Asian women? It's because the stereotypes that are imposed on Asian women. People think Asian women are submissive, quiet, and invisible, and they're sexual objects. These stereotypes exist in everyday life. And Asian women are greatly affected by this type of stereotypes. There was also a survey conducted last year. The result showed that 60% of reported incidents of anti-Asian racism in Canada targeted women. So our organization felt it was a critical time to bring Stop Asian Hate message to the forefront and emphasize that we oppose racism, sexism, and gender-based violence.
For those who are, I guess just following up on that, what are kind of the next steps now that we've had the rally, you started the talks, what are the next steps in this?
I can talk about this. So our sort of, for one of the mandate that we have for organization is promote gender equalities and also to address racism. And for our future programmings, we will focus on hosting a series of educational workshop related to discriminations, anti-racism, and gender-based violence. And we already have one session done visiting the Chinese communities, and we do have more coming up. So just kind of like throughout those educational workshops, we hope to raise awareness and we encourage people to step up and speak out for themselves and also raise awareness among other cultural groups as well.
Can you go into a little detail about what was talked about at these workshops and how that first one was received?
For the first one, we just had the first one last week, and then we have, in total, we have 35 participants. And then we talk about the histories of why does this racism against Asian women, especially Chinese, where are they coming from? And we talk about from the historic context. And we also talk about different forms of discriminations. And we talk about what the racism looks like and just how do you address that in the daily practice. And then at the end, we have people sharing their thoughts. So kind of encourage people to talk about it in the safer environments, because we don't tend to have this opportunity amongst our own groups and have our own people to raise their concern and have their thought to be expressed.
If someone is experiencing discrimination or racism against them, what steps should they be taking?
We definitely want people to speak up about when they experience racism or even when they witness an incident of racism. In Asian culture, people tend to keep quiet when they face things like racism or discrimination. People tend to keep things with themselves. They don't want to make a fuss. And there's also a historic model minority myths that are imposed on Asian community. So how to combat this and how to encourage people to speak up and speak out. For individuals, I think as friends, as co-workers, as neighbors, we need to support people, anyone who wants to speak out. And for people themselves who experience that, in the community, we're trying to provide that support and to raise awareness that it is not acceptable and you should not keep this just with yourselves. You should report it. And speaking up can make a change, can force a change. And I think on the bigger picture, we also want to see leaders, our leaders, community leaders or political leaders to publicly speak up against the racism. And that will also encourage people to speak up.
So for someone who's moves to Canada, what is the best way for a newcomer to get involved in their community and share their thoughts and opinions and to kind of just build that support group?
We're talking about getting involved with community. A lot of people are talking about volunteering. Again, we are talking about volunteering again. And this is a really great way for newcomers to get to know their communities while learning about Canadian cultural practicing and learning skills and also meeting new people. That could be done in a formal or informal settings. And non-formal volunteer work could be like become a guest instructor for our programs or to be a member of a neighborhood patrol or street cleanup. And for the formal one, you can challenge yourself. You can become a board members of a nonprofit organizations or volunteers in governance work, provide leadership or direction to the organizations. In Canadian society, feedback surveys contain valuable information to the organizations and also to the decision makers for their future plannings. If newcomers, they attend the programs or events at the end of it, and if you are asked to provide feedback, do it, whether you like it or not. And also, the social services agency and other levels of governments in Manitoba, they use survey to ask for public opinions. If you see ones, participate in surveys. This is also a good way to express your thoughts and opinions. I know those are very mini steps, but that's also a good step for a newcomer to practice, express their thoughts in the public. And in weekly, we would love to see our women of color who participate in our programs could also join us and continue to grow with us and taking more initiative and leadership roles and eventually become one of the female leaders in their own communities or other different area. So that's how I think, personally, I think they can get involved and have their thoughts and opinion to be shared.
Awesome. So I know another thing that the group is doing is a partnership with the Norwest Community Health Center. Can you go into a little detail about that current project?
Jennifer, do you want to talk about? Oh, do you want me? Okay.
Yes. You can talk about Norwest.
So Norwest, they launched in February this year, they launched a vaccine rollout campaign, health campaign. And then Jennifer and I approached to Michelle at the Norwest and said that we would like to help them to create multi-language posters and information and videos those videos and posters are in different language. And those posters and videos can be distributed to our friends and community leaders, and then they can distribute it to their network and their community members. In that way, it give the newcomers and also people that doesn't speak English that well a lot of great information, and also those information are reliable sources too. And we also get involved with a I Got Vaccine For campaign for Norwest too. What it does is once you get a vaccine and you take a selfie using the call I Got a Vaccine For card. So you cannot promote, and then once you take a selfie or the photo, you can post on your social media and kind of promote it through your friend network.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awesome.
And we do, so we start with our newcomers, not newcomers, but our immigrants, our friends who are frontline workers in the healthcare systems or education systems. They are already have their vaccine done. So we start with those people, and they are very happy to help us to kind of like taking the photos and having the photos shared to be shared among the communities. So that's generate a lot of a lot of discussions, and people love it because on the card they can say why they're getting vaccine for. For example, I have my two shots of the vaccine already. On my poster, I got vaccine for the people I love and other people who love me. So, and also I have that in Chinese as well, so people can actually see it and they know the importance of getting the vaccine is to not only protect us, but also protect our loved ones too. So we try to foster those positive image, and instead of like talking about vaccine hesitancy,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, getting people encouraged and want to get it so that they can protect their loved ones.
That's right.
Yeah. I also saw that the organization recently supported a national call to action to build back Canada's Chinatown. What is that initiative?
Yes, I can talk about this. We were very excited to support a national call to action with five other cities together across Canada to build back Canada's Chinatowns. So in total, there were six cities. Montreal, Toronto, Winnipeg, Edmonton, Calgary, and Vancouver. The initiative is launched by Center for Research Action on Race Relations. It's a Montreal-based civil rights group. Since the onset of COVID, the Asian community across the country has been disproportionately impacted, and Chinatowns have been hit especially hard. Here in Winnipeg, Chinatown has been ignored for a long time and has deteriorated with no plans to restore it. We see more and more aging infrastructure, empty storefronts, few business opportunities, less and less pedestrians, and lack of community-based planning. And on top of all this is the social and economic impacts caused by COVID. So we need a national strategy. That's why our organization joined this call. And we're calling on the government of Canada to provide equitable economic aid for Chinatown small businesses, invest in job creation and training, invest in environmental renewal and infrastructure, especially affordable housing for families and seniors, and provide adequate funding to promote cultural activities, events, and services.
Of course.
You know, Chinatown remains important to the Chinese and the broader Southeast Asian community of Winnipeg, and it connects these communities with the broader community. As a women's organization, we know the value of vibrant, thriving communities. We know the needs of our seniors, especially women, in living in a community that has accessible, culturally appropriate, and welcoming businesses and services. Creating a vibrant community will also help with community safety here in Winnipeg, both for Chinatown's residents and the community who accesses many services within or around Chinatown. So investing in Chinatown is a winning strategy. And this national action plan needs different levels of government to work together. And the Chinese community leaders across Canada will come together and advocate for that.
Fantastic. Yeah, we want to continue to see, you know, the different cultural communities in Winnipeg thrive and across Canada.
Yes. And we were very excited to support this national call, and because we've seen for a long time, we've seen Winnipeg's Chinatown is not very active. And you know, in many people's memory, Chinatown should is attracting because of its diverse storefronts, mixed-use building, and the people can walk on streets and connect with each other socially and physically. And it used to be a vibrant community, but now we've seen less and less pedestrians and few business opportunities and the empty lot that left by the demolition of Shanghai restaurant 7 years ago. And the empty lot is still there after 7 years. So it is really sad for many people who live and grow up here in Winnipeg. And we think it's an opportunity. And so we want to call on the government to include this into the government's recovery COVID recovery plan, to have an inclusive COVID recovery plan.
Yeah. You know, once things open up, we want to see you know, stores and local businesses prosper and grow, because that helps, you know, benefit the community. And you know, there's an entire like tourist attraction there for people to come in. It's a part of Winnipeg that, you know, tourists can come in and that can continue to help build our communities, like that money coming in.
Yes, it's a winning strategy. Investing in Chinatown is a winning strategy for everyone, for the city, and for everyone who live or outside of Chinatown.
Mm-hmm. So what are the plans for the future of the Women of Color Community Leadership Initiative? I know Ting mentioned a little bit about your educational workshops, but what are some other things that you're hoping to achieve or accomplish or tackle?
I can start talk about this, and maybe Ting can add on more.
Sure.
About our volunteers and the committees. We weekly currently has partnership with more than 20 organizations in different communities, and we value collaboration very much. So we hope to expand our partnership with many, many more organizations and communities through organizing events together, sharing information and resources, and advocating on issues that affect our communities. And Ting, can you talk about the volunteers and committees?
Oh, sure. We are currently recruiting volunteers with various different skill sets and interests. This is also one of our missions too, like provide leadership training opportunity for youth and adults, especially women of color. And you can definitely reach out to us. And we're also looking for committee members who will be joining our program committee, fundraising committee, and publicity committee too. And just reminds that everybody that we are a volunteer run organization. We do rely on a lot of volunteers to help us to build a stronger organization and stronger community as well. And you can definitely send us an email through weekly.mb@gmail.com, or you can follow up on the Facebook and Instagram, Women of Color Community Leadership Initiative MB. And you can send us a private message too as well through Facebook and Instagram.
Super cool. So how can people get more involved? You mentioned a little bit about volunteer, but is there potential donation opportunities or things like that to help out the organization?
Yes, for sure. As a volunteer-based organization, we don't have a lot of funding. We apply for funding to run our programs and services, and also rely on a lot of volunteers, as Ting said. So we welcome donation, and we hope through our hard working and the programs that we run and advocating on issues, people see women of color's experience and contributions are valued, and grow together with our organization.
That's right.
Yes.
Tune in to 101.5 FM every Tuesday afternoon at 1 to hear more stories from fantastic people across Canada. I'm Ryan Funk. This was U Talk, and have yourself a good one.